Greetings in the wonderful, majestic, powerful name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now, I am excited this afternoon. I would first of all like to welcome you to our Holy Ghost Encounter Service. Now, this service we have once a month, and we believe God for a mighty outpouring of the Holy Spirit. This one, though, it's going to be a little bit different. While preparing and seeking the face of the Lord for a word this week, I started searching the scriptures, looking through the word of God, and I had several messages that came to heart. But usually at the services on the Holy Ghost Encounter, I would like to preach something on the Holy Spirit, something on the power of God. But this one, the Lord redirected me and said to me, I want you to preach this type of message for this Holy Ghost Encounter. I don't know when I will preach it, messages like this again for the Holy Ghost Encounter evenings, but I believe that God has a purpose and a reason why I needed to share this type of word for this service. And so I'm going to go forth and be obedient to the Lord. I believe that God is going to do great and mighty things tonight. Now, when somebody gets tired of, after they have tried many times to assist a particular individual and they just quit after that and just decide they're just going to quit doing that, it really can have an effect on the individual that had the other person continuously reaching out to that, to him or her. One day I was riding in a taxi and I was coming home from a certain event. While in the taxi, a group of mothers were sitting in the taxi and they were talking about their children that were busy with drug addiction and so forth, and their children that is giving them problems. And out of the blue, one of the moms just blurted out and said this, "I do not even care if my son should die because of what he has put me through." And those words has always stuck in my heart because I just heard the words of a mother that has had enough, that has tried everything. And at this point in her life, she just said, "I had enough. Whatever happens to him now, he's on his own." And that words, like I said, it stuck deep in my heart. Really stuck deep within my heart. And when God gave me this message and I was meditating on this message and I was looking at this message and I said, "Lord, do you really want me to share this?" And I'm telling you, I just could not get into any other word but this particular message. And God said to me, "I want you to share this message tonight. I want you to speak on this message. I want you to preach this message tonight and don't change it. You do just that to which I've called you." And I'm not going to disobey God. I'm going to go ahead and fulfill the word or fulfill that which God has told me to do. Now I just want to thank God today for entrusting me to share this message with you. And so as we're going to speak today, and we're going to turn, first of all, we're going to turn in our Bibles and we're going to turn to the book of 1 Samuel 28 verses 6. Then we're going to look at verses 15. And so let's begin to read. The Bible says, "And when Saul inquired of the Lord answered him not, neither by dreams, nor by Urim, nor by prophets." How we look at this, and then we're going to read verse 15. "And Samuel said to Saul, why hast thou disquieted me to bring me up? And Saul answered, I am sore distressed, for the Philistines make war against me, and God is departed from me and answered me no more, neither by prophets nor by dreams. Therefore I have called thee that you may make known unto me what I shall do. 1 Chronicles 10 verses 13 to 14. Bible says, "And Saul died because he was unfaithful to the Lord. He failed to obey the Lord's command and even consulted a medium instead of asking the Lord for guidance. So the Lord killed him and turned the kingdom over to David, the son of Jesse." And so we're going to work through these different texts. I believe that this is a word for the church. This is a word for the body of Christ. This is a word for the nation. I believe that God has given us a word to declare today, a word that I believe is a word that carries with it a seriousness that God is speaking to us as the body of Christ, and God is speaking to those that he has been continuously speaking to and has not heed the call of God or listened to the voice of the Lord. I read a poem in my preparation, and it's something that has really stuck with me. The poem goes something like this. There's a time when we know not when, a point we know not where, that marks the destiny of man, to glory or despair. There's a line by us unseen that crosses every part, the hidden boundary between God's patience and God's wrath. To pass that limit is to die as if by stealth. It does not quench the beaming eye or pale the glow of health. The conscience may still at ease, the spirit's light and gay. That which is pleasing still may please, and care may thrust away. But on that forehead God has set, indelible, a mark, unseen by man, for man as yet is blind and in the dark. And yet the doomed man path below may bloom as Eden bloomed. He did not and does not, will not know or feel that he's doomed. He knows, he feels that all is well and every fear is calmed. He lives, he dies, he wakes in hell, not only doomed but damned. Oh, where is that mysterious born, or by which our path is crossed, beyond which God himself has sworn that he who guess is lost? How far may we go on in sin? How long will God forbear? Forbear means withhold. Where does hope end and where begin? The confines of despair and answers from the skies is sent. Ye that depart from God, while it is called today, repent and harden not your heart. And so what we come to and understand in this particular portion of scripture today, it's a tragic day when God quits to speak to man. It's a tragic day when God quits to speak to a man. In this past season, we have lost some, according to the natural, some very important people. Very, very important people in the eyes of celebrities. Celebrities and also people in different areas of our nation. People that were running running the drug operation in certain areas and certain places. And we find that these people now has come to a place where I believe that the wrath of God has boiled over, the cup of wrath has been filled, and their lives came to a tragic end. Not so long ago in KwaZulu-Natal, we saw a leader and his wife and his child killed because of surely of gang wars. And the background of his story, we go by hear what we have heard on the news and by certain people. And we watch these videos and we see that even today people still confess this and they say rest in peace. And now who are we to judge? We are not here to judge. But one thing that we do know is that when the cup runs over, when your day has come to die, the question would be, are you ready to meet your maker? And this is that type of message today where we're going to deal with the hard issues of life, where we're going to deal with the hard question. And my message title this afternoon is going to be, when God stops to speak, when God stops speaking, when God stops speaking, when God stops speaking, people are dying young ages in our community, in our societies. People are dying at a young age. But one thing I can guarantee you is that God has been tugging on their hearts. I look at today, I've met so many gang leaders and people that has come to know Christ, and they understood when God called them. Yes, at times they first rejected, but when we look at our community and our societies today, we have seen that many has heeded the call of God, and today their lives are changed, their lives are transformed. They are not ordinary people no more. They are being used by an extraordinary God. But what will happen when God quits speaking to a man? Saul had come to that day when God had departed from him and he was no longer speaking to him. God had been so patient with him that he thought he could hear from God just at any time he chooses. He basically abused the patience of God. He abused the patience of God. And this is the thing that we find in this particular portion of scriptures, that Saul has come to the end of his line. He did not realize that he had drifted out of range. He had presumed upon God's grace once too often. He has taken the grace of God for granted. When God calls us, when God calls us back, when God speaks to us and we harden our hearts, it is time that we return to the Lord. Because what will happen when God is silent on us? Many of us has been through certain experiences in relationships where you have been in a relationship that you loved, and when that person goes on mute, you have felt the effects of that muteness. When somebody refuses to speak, we know how it is at times when a spouse refuses to speak in the home, how it affects the other one that wants to be in relationship and conversation. It is not something pleasant. It is something that breaks the heart of the other individual. And we come to a place when we now understand even the importance of oxygen in this world, that if oxygen has just been removed from humanity for a certain period of time, everything will die. When we look at this, we understand the importance of the voice of God. And we understand that how important it is that we are led by the voice of God. The Bible says in John 10 that the sheep of God knoweth his voice. And if we know his voice, we are led and guided by the voice of God. And here the Bible says now that Saul thought that Saul could just abuse the grace of God and then just expect him to hear the voice of God at any time he felt like it. When we turn to the book of Hebrews, Hebrews gives us a warning. Listen to what the Bible says. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and obedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect a great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? How shall we escape? Now, when we look at the words in this particular text, we find that it is also the word "let them slip." Elsewhere is translated in another translation, we should drift away. Drift away. Now, I have a full sermon on drifting away. Drifting is almost impeccable. It's something that is imperceptible. Something that is imperceptible because you are floating with the tide and it's moving with you, and you have no awareness of the fact that you are drifting unless you have some fixed reference point to observe. It's a dangerous thing for a fisherman to fall asleep on a boat. A dangerous thing to fall asleep on a boat. And this fisherman, when he opens his eyes, he would not know which direction to go because he would be lost at sea. Come on, somebody. He would be lost. And many a times here, the Hebrew writer warns us that we should be careful. We should be careful. We should hold on to that which we have heard. I believe that even in this generation, we're finding that as the church, we need to hold on to the messages of the cross. We need to hold on to the truths that has been revealed to us. We need to hold on to the truth of the gospel message. We need to be sincere. We need to hold on to that which God has encouraged us and empowered us and enlightened us with. We need to be children children of God that holds on and not allow it to slip, because at times we can slip so far away from truth that we do not realize that we have slipped up and messed up. Therefore, we need to get back to God. We need to come back to the fear of the Lord. Hallelujah. We need to get ourselves back to the message of the cross. We need to hold on, as Paul, as the Hebrew writer says. He says, hold on to that which you have heard, lest at any time you let it slip. We need to hold on. To the truth, hallelujah. It's impossible for you to drift so far. It is possible for you to drift so far. There's no way back. There's no way back. And you find that people drift far and they become antichrist and they become anti-God. And that is when you need to be careful in a generation where truth is not acceptable to every circle. People are rejecting truth. People are so used to the false that they cannot even accept the truth no more. People are so caught up in the false that the truth is something that has become detestable. We're living in a generation where people would rather fall for lies than hold on to truth. The The Bible said in the last days, people will call things that are evil good and things that are good evil. And we're living in that time right now where generation has slipped away from the godly principles. We're living in a time where people have drifted away. Sometimes when I watch all these Hollywood movies, I look at some of these people. They grew up in godly homes, but today they have sold their souls to Satan. They thought that they're just going to get into it for some buck or some riches or some wealth, but they're living now in a time where they've sold their souls. They have drifted away, and now they're finding themselves at a place where some of them could not turn back. Some of them now has lost their lives. Some of them now has lost many other things. They've lost their lives, and they've lost their reputation, and they've lost everything else because they have slipped into the trap of the enemy, and there was no way they could return. And therefore, the Hebrew writer says we should not let it slip. We should be careful that we don't become drifters. Hallelujah. Be careful that you do not become a drifter in this generation, because it's so easy to become a drifter because we seek the fame, the fortune, and the things that are attached to this wonderful message of the gospel. And we need to be careful that we do not lose sight of truth, but we hold on to that which God has told us. Therefore, we need to understand it is possible for us to drift so far. As I said, there is no way back. And the Bible says God quits striving with you. He no longer speaks to you because the voice of God has been warning you, and the voice of God has been tugging on your heart. And at times we find that we, because of our rebellion and our stubbornness, God cannot speak to us, and we have caused him no longer to strive with us. It's a terrible thing. You know, you can lose relationships, you can lose friendships, you other things in your life can be shut out. But we don't want God to stop speaking. You don't want God to be silent. You don't want God to be silent. My God, if God is silent, I'm looking at that 400-year period between Malachi and Matthew, when the Bible says there was no open revelation, or there was no further messages from that point, right up until the time of John the Baptist when he came onto the scene. I can't imagine it now that I understand the importance of the voice of God, and how important it is for God to lead me and guide me, and for God to speak to me. It's even more important than the air that I breathe, that I want God to speak to me, God to walk with the Lord. Amen. And so we need to come to a place where we hold on to the principles of God and hold on to the truth of the word. I tell you, in a generation where people are looking for the popularity, people are looking to be the famous, part of the famous clan. But today I want us to understand that God is calling us to a place where we will hold on to righteousness, hold on to the pure doctrines of the gospel. Today we are in a fight for what is true. We're in a fight for that which is truthful. And we need to fight for the church. We need a few bold people, a remnant that's going to stand up and that's going to stand for righteousness, a remnant that's going to fight, a remnant that's not going to let it slip, a remnant that's going to rise up in every city in the world and that's going to stand for truth and righteousness, a remnant that's not going to allow it to slip away or them drifting away because they are following the crowd, but a remnant that's going to stand, a remnant that's even at the time going to feel like the prophet Elijah and says, I'm the only one left. My God says, I've hidden others. We need those that will stand for truth and righteousness. Come on. God is good. Somebody needs to give God a praise. Remember that God is under no obligation to save us. Sometimes people act like they are doing God a favor by receiving his salvation. They think that they come at their own choosing and timing. But the Bible says no man can come to God unless he's drawn by God. I'm telling you, and I've said it several times, that you did not seek God. God came to seek you. For the Bible says, I came to seek and to save that which is lost. The Bible says, God said to Noah, my spirit will not always strive with man. Therefore, we need to understand it's a blessing that God's spirit always strives with us at all. It's a blessing. It's a blessing when you have conviction. It's a blessing when you have that check in your spirit. It's a blessing. But we need to understand that. We need to understand that. Hallelujah. We need to understand that. That God is giving us a warning. God is giving us a warning as individuals, as a nation, as a community, as a church. That God is saying there is a limit, and we need to understand to God's tolerance. And we have seen that many a times. There are in relationships, there are people that can tolerate, but there's a limitation to their tolerance. There's a people that can take a certain limit of certain things in life. And you find the sweetest people can explode. You find that the most calmest or the most quiet or the most patient person comes to the end of his patience. And there is a time, hallelujah, that even God, hallelujah, there's a limit on God's tolerance. The Bible says in the book of Jeremiah 14, verses 11 and 12, then the Lord said unto me, pray not for this people for their good. My God, this is heavy words. Pray not for this people for their good. Listen to this hard words from the prophet Jeremiah. Pray not for this people for their good. When God, when you have people on an intercessory list and God says, I don't want you to pray for this person no more. I have striven with this person, but this person has refused to heed my call. I've tried everything to draw this person unto me, but yet they do not want to come. Listen to verse 12. When they fast, I will not hear their cry. And when they offer burnt offering and oblation, I will not accept them. But I will consume them by the sword and by the famine and by the pestilence. My God, when God has given up, when God turns his back on a man. The Bible says in the Gospels, when Jesus felt this moment and he cried, Eloi, Eloi, lama sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why have you forsaken me? Look at this. God says, you know, even if you pray, don't pray for their good anymore. Imagine the word, the heaviness, the weightiness on the spirit of the prophet when he was told, don't pray for this people's good no more. For now I will only send my judgment upon them. They had come to the place where God was no longer speaking to them. The Spirit of God was no longer striving for them. The Bible says in the book of Hosea 4 verse 17, Ephraim is joined to idols. Let him alone. Ephraim had crossed the line. God will no longer plead with him. Like Saul, like King Saul, God no longer speaking to him. God had no further words of pleading for Ephraim. Just like, let him alone. Do not call on them any longer to repent. Just let them alone. These are the words of God. And some of you may be in danger when God begins to say, hallelujah, let them alone. Let them alone. What are we going to do, hallelujah, when God says that to us? What are we going to do when God has come and the line has been drawn? We do not see this invisible line. But what if you have crossed that line? Or what if you are close to crossing the line? And it's time for you to lift up your eyes and to repent and look unto the Lord today. It's time that we look unto Jesus Christ, the author and the finisher of our faith. For the Bible says in Romans 1, Paul speaks of those who God had given up and is no longer striving with them to receive his love. The Bible says, but God shows his anger from heaven, Romans 1, 18 to 26. But God shows his anger from heaven against all sinful, wicked people who suppress the truth by their wickedness. They know the truth about God because he has made it obvious to them. For ever since the world was created, God has seen the earth and the people have seen the earth and the sky. Through everything God had made, they can clearly see his invisible qualities, his eternal power and his divine nature. So they have no excuse for not knowing God. Yes, they knew God, but they wouldn't worship him as God for even give him thanks. They began to think up foolish ideas of what God was like. As a result, their minds became dark and confused. Claiming to be wise, they instead became utter fools. And instead of worshiping the glorious, ever-living God, they worshiped idols made to look like mere people. My God, like mere people and birds and animals and reptiles. And so God abandoned them to whatever shameful things their hearts desired. As a result, they did vile and degrading things with each other's bodies. They traded the truth about God for a lie. So they worshipped and served the things. My God, they served the things that God created instead of the Creator himself, who is worthy of eternal praise. Amen. That is why God abandoned them to their shameful desire. Even the woman turned against the natural way to have sex, instead would indulge in sex with each other. Look at this word. Look at these words. This is powerful words. What remains for the person for whom God is no longer speaking? Hallelujah. The Bible teaches us this in the book of Hebrews. Hebrews 10, 27 to 31. A certain and fearful looking for of judgment and fire indignation, which shall devour the adversaries. He that despised the law of Moses died without mercy under two or three witnesses. Of how much worse punishment do you suppose will be upon those who have trodden underfoot the Son of God and have counted the blood of the covenant wherewith he has been sacrificed an unholy thing and have done despite unto the Spirit of grace. For we know him that has said, vengeance belongs unto me, and I will repay, saith the Lord. And again the Lord shall judge his people. It is a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Today we think God is our playmate. Today the earth has no fear for God. We look at the Rio, we look at that Rio festival or whatever they had in Brazil the other day, how they mocked our Christ. But God was not asleep. God cannot be mocked. God cannot be mocked. Therefore, fear came over my heart when I heard one of our political leaders speaking about Jesus Christ like he's some friend of his. A fear touched my heart, and I said, oh God, how many has gone before that has used the things of God or mocked God, and they were no more? And we need to understand that God, we should not play with the Lord. For God, it's a serious thing to fall into the hands of the living God. And so we're asking this question today. Why is it that God is not speaking to him? Why was God not speaking to Saul anymore? The Bible says we understand that he had turned a deaf ear to God too many times, disobedient upon disobedience. And now God was turning a deaf ear to him. My God, look at this. God turned a deaf ear to him because he turned a deaf ear to God. For a period of time, God had to turn a deaf ear to his son so that God's ear could always be open to our cry. But if we resist the call, if we resist the tug, if we resist that God is calling us and God is speaking to us, what will then happen to us? For the Bible describes this in the book of Proverbs chapter 1, when God has turned his ear. Listen to this. I called you so often, but you would not come. I reached out to you, but you paid no attention. You ignored my advice and rejected the correction I offered. So I will laugh when you are in trouble. I will mock you when disaster overtakes you, when calamity overtakes you like a storm, when disaster engulfs you like a cyclone, and anguish and distress overwhelms you. When they cry for help, I will not answer. Though they anxiously search for me, they will not find me, for they hated knowledge and they chose not the fear of the Lord. They rejected my advice and paid no attention when I corrected them. Oh God, the Bible says in Isaiah 51 verses 59 verses 1 and 2, the prophet said, behold, the Lord's hand is not too short that he cannot save, neither is his ear too heavy that he cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you that he will not hear. Come on, the Bible is speaking to us. When God turns a deaf ear, the proverb writer says, we will cry for help and he will not answer us. We will come anxiously and search for him, but we will not find him. We will reject because they have rejected my advice and paid no attention to my correction. Because there comes a time when the line is drawn, and Saint, I want to ask you today, if we don't know where the line is drawn, we don't know when we have strayed or when we are close to the line. But one thing this message has brought today has come as a barricade or set up between us and our line, so that we can make a U-turn, so that we can stop right there before we go over the cliff, so that we can come to a point and surrender all to God, so that we can come to this place and yield ourselves to the voice of God and the things of God. Come on, it's time for you to remove the barrier between you and God. Remove that sin that has kept you so entrapped and so in the things and the palm of the enemy. Remove those things that has held you captive, because the devil is a liar. Somebody needs to say that the devil is a liar today in the name of Jesus Christ. The Bible then teaches us in Jeremiah, the prophet Jeremiah spoke these words from the Lord. Jeremiah 7 from verse 9. Do you really think you can steal, murder, commit adultery and lie and burn incense to Baal and all those other new gods of yours? And then come here and stand before me in my temple and chant, we are safe, only to go right back to all those evils again? Don't you yourselves admit that this temple which bears my name has become a den of thieves? Surely I see all the evil going on there. I, the Lord, have spoken. Go now to the place at Shiloh where I once put the tabernacle that bore my name. See what I did there because of all the wickedness of my people, the Israelites. While you were doing these wicked things, says the Lord, I spoke to you about it repeatedly. That's the grace of God. Grace of God will continuously come knocking. The grace of God will continuously, there will be continuous mercy. I'm telling you, not one of our gangsters that has gone to hell today when they are in hell can say that they have not heard the voice of God. Not one of them can say that they have not heard somebody coming and knocking and say it's time for you to repent. So many times God has reached out to them and stretched out their hand, but they rather chose the fast lane that led to hell instead of the narrow road that leads to heaven. How many times when I hear this word repeatedly, it shows me the mercy and the grace of God. But the Bible says you would not listen. I called out to you, but you refused to answer. So just as I destroyed Shiloh, I will now destroy this temple that bears my name, this temple that you trust in for help, this place that I gave to you and your ancestors. And I will send you out of my sight into exile, just as I did to your relatives, the people of Israel. Pray no more for these people, Jeremiah. Do not weep or pray for them, and don't beg me to help them, for I will not listen to you. Those are hard words. Those are words that I don't think anybody wants to hear. When God tells an intercessor, I don't want you to pray for this person no more, because this person has chosen their own path. This person has made up their mind. They don't want to serve me. This person, you know, there's so much mercy in for the, even for the one that has declared there's no God. There's so much mercy for the one who has drifted away and still has an opportunity to return unto the Lord. But what if we come to that place where our hearts are so hardened and so affected by unbelief that we have come to the place that we don't even want to hear about God? We've come to the place that we have totally rejected God. What if we have come to that place? What if we borderlining that place right now and we think that I still have another chance? Maybe one day I will think about it. Maybe one day I will just decide I will accept God's forgiveness. But you don't know, the longer you delay to come to Christ, the longer or the more God or enemy works on your heart. My God, we seen it. We see this happening all the time. God's mercy is rich. The Bible says it's because of his loving kindness and his mercy that God loves us. But here the Bible is teaching us, what is it? What will happen to us if God stops to speak? What will happen to us if God turns a deaf ear? What will happen to us if God tells somebody not to pray for you anymore? Don't pray for the good of that person. It's over. That person has straddled the line. My God. We find like Saul, they had crossed over the line and they had gone too far, Israel. Some of us are getting close to that line today if we do not turn to God. God has been warning you about something even in your Christian life. God has warned you and spoken to you, but you refuse to listen. You are caught up in this fantasy. You are caught up in this world. You are caught up in your own world and God is calling you. Yet there's a call of God and God is speaking to you and God is continuously warning you not to go and not to do and not to get engaged, not to get engaged in sin or certain activities, but yet you continue to pursue your own will. And there's a tug on your heart, but yet you resist the conviction. What if you have heard the call of God many times and God has spoken to your heart, but you have put him off? You are determined to live your own life on your terms and have rejected God from ruling over you. There will come a day when you will be forced to call on him, but you will have no guarantee that he will answer you. And the question should be, why should he? He has called you many times and you did not answer. In that desperate day of trouble, when you call upon him, you had better hope that he does not say to you, as he said to Israel, I will not listen to you when you pray for them. We better be careful. Judges 10 verses 13 and 14. For you have forsaken me and served other gods. Therefore I will deliver you no more. Go and cry to the gods which you have chosen. Let them deliver you in the time of your tribulation. Go and cry to those sources you have run to. Go and cry to those gods that you have substituted for God. Come on, listen to what the Bible says. God is saying, listen, go and cry to them and let's see, will they deliver you from the time of tribulation? This is a day and an hour we are entering into the final moments or final season of the earth. Great revivals are breaking out. I'm telling you, we can see it across the world. People are coming to repentance. People are turning to God in numbers. But yet there's a great number that is rejecting God. There's a great number that is resisting the call of God. There's a great number today. All our Hollywood stars that have sought the fame and the fortune. All those that have gone after the famous words of the man that started this, "Do as thou wilt," Aleister Crowley. And they have just lived lives of wickedness and just live life in continuous disobedience to God, not listening to the voice of God. I said it the other day when we've watched this Hollywood that they did the other day when they magnified Satan. Our God does not sleep. Our God does not sleep. Our God does not sleep. We know that many of these stars, they suffer from depression and anxiety. And we see that suicide is increasing in Hollywood at such a tremendous rate. We need to be careful, and people need to listen to God. People need to turn back to the Lord. People need to heed to the call of God. For God is calling you. Do not harden your heart. Do not make it out or set it out for another day. Today is the day of salvation. The Bible says, Isaiah the prophet wrote, "Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call ye upon him while he is near." You have no guarantee that he will be there for you when you really need him. And therefore today, make that call unto God. You don't know where that line has been drawn. You don't know what day has been set out. But the longer you drift away, you might not just find your way back. The longer you move away, you might just be out of reach. But today, the grace of God has been extended to you. God is calling you back. God is calling you to a place of repentance. God is calling the nations to bow before him. We are living in a day and in an hour where the great tribulation is coming upon us. We will see that we might not see this, because many of us will be raptured. Many of us will be taken away. But for those who will be left behind, the hour will be so heavy upon you. What will you do? Today it's time for you to call unto God. It's time to turn to the Lord. It's time to yield to the voice of God. It's time to give yourself over to the Lord. Oh, Jesus. I remember many years ago, I was in a backslidden state. One day I overdosed myself with cocaine and a mixture of other drugs. And I remember I felt, this is the day that I'm going to meet either my maker or I'm going to hell. And I remember that day coming home, being left by my friends to go into my home. And telling me that, listen, they're going to leave me to make sure that my mom does not see that I'm with them. And I remember crawling next to the whole house and laying there on the floor. And I don't know, it was just that moment I felt like everything in my body was beginning to switch off. And something happened that day as I was laying next to the house. I felt the cement I was laying on was beginning to boil. It was beginning to cook. And I felt these fingers pulling my soul out of my body. And I know some people might say it might be the drugs that made you think all of this, hallucination and so forth. But I tell you, that moment was as real as me standing here before you today. And as I was laying there, I felt my soul. But because I was a backslider, I still had the word of God in my heart. And I said, "Lord Jesus, I beg of you, please give me another chance." Laying there crying out to God just for his mercy and for his grace. And I called out to him and I said, "Be merciful to me, O God. Be merciful to me, O God." And I remember that day as I cried out, "Being merciful to me, O God," there was a strength that came into my body. And it's like those fingers left me and God showed me mercy. But what if the line was drawn and I would cry to God and he would not hear my voice? What if today it would be many years later and I would be burning in hell, crying out, "Oh God, if only I didn't harden my heart. If only I didn't reject your call. If only I did not." That's why the man that was in hell, he had many regrets. And he wanted his brothers. He said, "Father Abraham, please tell Lazarus to put a little water on my tongue." And he said, "Please, Let somebody from the dead go and warn my brothers from this place. Send Lazarus. Let him go tell them that this place is not a place they should come to. That this place is not a place that many people think that does not exist. That rich man must have had his warnings, must have had his my people must have brought him the message, but he rejected God. And he faced his lot in life. With how much regret today is there hundreds of millions crying out from the burning flames of hell. Only to think that if I went that day when they had it open in front of my home on my street, when the pastor made that call to my house or came to visit me and asked me, don't I want to surrender? I remember Reinhard Bonnke sharing the story of a young lady, and I can't speak under correction with the testimony. And it was, I think, at one of his services. And after the service, he saw this beautiful young lady. And he called this lady and he asked this lady, you know, does she want to give her heart to the Lord? And this lady didn't want to, or so forth. And the lady then decided that night she's going to go out with friends. And the next morning, while Reinhard Bonnke was sitting and having tea and his breakfast, in came the mother running. And the mother was weeping. And the mother just shared with Reinhard Bonnke how her daughter passed away in that car accident last night. What if God was speaking and we do not listen? I listened to a testimony by a very famous evangelist, Derek Finn, sharing a testimony about when he preached in Australia. One day as he was preaching on hell, a young lady got up in the service, walked to the back, whispered in the pastor's ears, and left the church. And a few seconds later, they just heard the screeching of tires. And suddenly a lady flew through the window and curtains came down. Not actually a lady, this body flew through the window and curtains came down with that body. When they unwrapped the body, they found out it was this young girl. And the pastor's wife started crying and saying, she's going to hell, she's going to hell. And there, the pastor started silencing his wife and saying, how can you make that judgment? And the lady said, when this lady came to the back and passed by, she said to me, this man's nonsense on hell is not true. How do we know that day when God was calling her? She has reached the line, but she refused to turn to God. Today, God is calling you. Are you going to resist the voice of God? Are you going to resist the call of God? God is saying, come, come, come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden. In my Father's house, there are many mansions. Come to God today. Return to the Lord today. In this day and in this hour, we cannot serve the Lord as lukewarm believers. We must serve God red hot. We must serve God on fire, for the King is coming back again. Now today, God has given me this message, and I believe if you are hearing this message, it's because God has appointed for you to come to serve Him, to give your heart and your life to Him. Maybe the line has been drawn and you can't see it, and this is your point where you're about to tip over and come into that place where there's no more turning back. Maybe you have been drifting, and just before it's out of sight, the Lord is reaching out and touching you. Maybe that wall that has been between you and God, God wants to break it down today. Maybe this warning, Saul did not heed the warnings of God, and Saul had to turn to other mediums. Now listen to this. The first thing is the prophet, the dreams. They believed a lot in dreams in the Old Testament, and God still does have a way of communicating with us through dreams. And so they had it in the, they believed that God would speak to dreams, through dreams. Amen. But God shut dreams down. So Saul did not know what to do. The second thing was through the Urim and the Thummim. This was the two white stones that was in the priest's bag. And they would make a decision whether the white stone or black stone. Positive, negative. Yes, no. I think that is how it worked. I might be speaking under correction. But I think that is how it worked. But listen to this. At one point, Saul killed the priest. At one point, Saul killed all the priests, and the only priest that was now left us was David. Comes a time in our life when we shut out the mouthpiece of God, when we shut out the church's voice from our lives, when we don't want to come to the house of God, when we don't want to worship God, we reject the calls of those who are trying to follow up on us, those who are trying to reach us, those who are trying to be the mouth of God for our lives, those who try to be the voice of God in our lives, and we shut them out. Amen. And we see here, the Bible says that, you know, that Saul, God shut out everything that they were used to using, and the prophet, And that's why the Bible teaches us now, Saul went to look for the prophet Samuel, though Samuel was dead. Saul went to this medium trying to call him up. And that's what we find what people will do today. When the voice of God is shut in their lives, they do not think, let us return and repent. Let us turn back to God. They rather find other mediums, or they rather find other means to hear a voice. But it's not always the voice of God. And people have turned today through all those tarot carding and witchcraft and palm reading and crystal ball reading and whatever it is called today. But they do not understand that it's time for you to repent so that you can hear the voice of God again. It's time for you to return unto the Lord. It's time for you to come back today. Call unto Him and He will answer you. But what if you have strayed the line? But today I believe that if God has allowed you to hear this message, then there's hope for you. So today, if you believe that Jesus Christ has died for you and that God has been speaking to you and you are not going to set this anymore aside, but today you're going to surrender to your life to God, I want you today to stand, raise your hand. Today I want you to say this prayer with me and say, Lord Jesus, I confess of my rebellion, my stubbornness and my sin. I confess all that I've done. Today I ask that your precious blood wash me and cleanse me and renews me. Today I ask that you purge me from all sin and unrighteousness. I repent for disobeying. I repent of not heeding your call. I repent that when you spoke to me, I did not yield to you at the first point. But today I thank you for your mercy and for your grace. And today I come and I give you my life. I give you my heart. And today I confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. That I confess that Jesus Christ has risen from the dead. I am born again. I am saved. I am a child of God. If you have said that prayer and you have meant it by faith, then today your life will never be the same. God bless you in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.